About once every 10 years, I'll pull this sermon out. Yeah, you know what? I reuse sermons. It takes me 10 years to do it, but I'll do it, especially if the message is appropriate for the day. We just sang a song about reaching out to God and feeling like we're powerless, that He's not hearing us. And the problem with that is sometimes we don't have enough faith for us to see the results that God has. The church is not in good shape today. We're not doing the job that we should do. Sometimes we feel like that, well, we come to church, we do what we're supposed to do, but you know, we preach the word, we sing our songs, but it's just people's lives aren't being changed. And we wonder what's going on. Well, this morning in Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21, we're in good company because the disciples had that same problem. So let's look at Matthew 17, starting in verse 14, and read the scripture and see what it has to say for it. So in verse 14, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and said, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' And Jesus answered and said, 'Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have the faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.'" There are a lot of terrible things that happens in this world today. Things that don't make a lot of sense. Things that, you know, we look and shake our heads about, whether it's the social things of the world today or maybe it's just life in general, and maybe, relatively speaking, we think we have it hard. Back then, the demon-possessed son, and most of you have had kids in here, and if you've had kids, then you know lots of times they really are demon-possessed. At least they act like them. They sometimes just do some weird and dumb things, and sometimes they just get out of control, and it's most times it's just a phase. But we're talking about another level here. Probably an epileptic fit this kid had. The scripture says he's demon-possessed. And he was throwing himself into fires, and he was throwing himself into waters. He's probably a teen who had this affliction for years. He was out of control, and the man was desperate, was absolutely desperate for anything to help him. Now, there have been times as parents that we've been and we look at our kids and go, I want to help them, but I have no clue how to do that. And it's okay. Sometimes we don't, but there's no answer. But it's terrifying for us, for people we love and care about, who have an issue that cannot be solved, whether it be medical, whether it be mental, whatever the case is, it can't be solved just by simply saying a few magic words. And trust me, I would want to know those words. But they're not there. You know what? We face these kind of terrors in our lives even today. And we'll have to face these types of traumatic events in our lives. The type that we have no control over. When God doesn't seem to be listening. A nightmare that just seems to last forever. We've all been there in some way, shape, or form. We've made it through the storms. Maybe you're in a storm right now of life. And it's not easy. It's terrifying. You know, we all get tired. We all get depressed. And sometimes we all feel defeated. And there doesn't seem to be any solution at all. Aren't you glad I'm not going to end on that note? Because that's a pretty much of a downer. But we have some security in the comforting knowledge of Christ. We understand as born-again, saved children of God that we have a good ending, a happy ending. After all the struggles and trials of life, the ending is great. In between, not so much. But can you imagine how the rest of the world deals with these tragedies? Without faith, without hope of God. What terrors they must face. Even if it's as simple thing as getting old and knowing the end is near. The world is crying out just like that father is. Can you help me? Can you help my son? Can you help me move this mountain in my life? And since they don't know Christ, they're desperately seeking anyone or anything that they can save their marriages, take away their mental anguish, save themselves from drugs or alcohol. All kinds of things in life that they're looking desperately to find an answer for. So where do they go for these things? Who can help them? Help them, their son. For that matter, who can help them? Well, there's a tragedy in being powerless. You know, you ever sit back and just watch something happen and you just wish you could have done something, that there's something you can do to change the outcome, but you can't? Well, the disciples here were powerless. The father of the demon-possessed boy had heard about a group of men who followed this Jesus who was doing some miraculous things. Word got out that Jesus was healing people. And he took his son to see one of these men. Now, I don't believe in faith healers as they're presented today. I do believe God does heal, but not in the way that some charlatans come across doing it. But imagine if you had heard about a man in a big old tent coming to your community, and the reports coming back was that he made the lame to walk, he made the blind to see. And here you have a child who's in desperate need, was desperately ill. You tried everything. Medical science has tried everything in the world. Put yourself in that father's place. Would you not try everything? And as much as I would detest going, saying that these are fake and false, if I was in that position, I'm not sure I wouldn't go either. Now, he was willing to try anything to help his son. But the disciples, so he went to the disciples. And I don't know what all they did, what mumbo jumbo they did, but something, it didn't work. It didn't happen. They were powerless. They couldn't free the demons from the boy. How disappointed he must have been after hearing such marvelous and wonderful things about this Jesus and the things that they could do. Is this how we feel as a church sometimes? Powerless? I'd be lying to you if I didn't think that occasionally. What can we do? You know, people are looking to the church for answers to the tragedies in our lives. And what answers do we give them? Too many people who don't know Christ have walked away from the church. They've walked away from the church down and disappointed because, after all, they've heard about Jesus, about the church could do in the name of Jesus. The mountains in their lives haven't been removed. Now, I'm not talking about faith healing and such, but the idea that we are powerless to help people in times of their greatest needs. So don't we sometimes feel powerless in our own lives? And if we feel powerless in our own lives, then why should lost men and women come to us and say, can you help my son? Now look, don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about faith healing, I'm not talking about us laying hands, but I'm talking about being the power of God through the church, through our lives. Being able to be there for people, to comfort people, to guide people to Christ, to help them understand that Christ is the answer and not the problem. You know, maybe if we were to believe and show the power of Christ in our own changed lives, then maybe we could show others the way to Christ that can produce changed lives. I wouldn't give anything for someone to come in and lead a recovery group with a beer in their hand, would you? it's not a good look. If I had a problem like that, I wouldn't come to that person because obviously he hasn't got it right. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to get our lives right and show the transformation that God has made in our lives. Put the world beside us and show the world who Christ really is in our lives. Your adversary would love for you to assume the worst about your situation. He would enjoy seeing you heave a sigh and resign yourself to feelings of depression. Oh well, it's over, there's no hope, that's it. However, it's been my experience that whenever God is involved, anything can and usually does happen. It is simply the fact that when I go to God with a specific prayer and I think this is the way God should handle it, I present it to God and he goes, no, I think, well, he's not answering my prayer. No, he's got a better way. My timing's off. Something is wrong. He's got something better for me than my original plan. However, the one who directed that stone that fell between Goliath's eyes and split the Red Sea down the middle and leveled the wall around Jericho and brought his son back from death, he delights in altering the inevitable and bypassing the impossible. We have tunnel vision. Sometimes we only see what's right in front of us, but I think if you take a step back, you can see what God has really done in people's lives. There have been some folks in my life I've never thought would enter the church doors. They become stalwart Christians, faithful Christians. People I thought God could never use. You see, we are given power, not on our own, but by Christ. In Acts 1:8 says this. Acts 1:8 says, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. What is power? What is this power that he gives us? Is it able to be superheroes and stuff like that? No. It's not the gift of healing, but it is a temporary gift. The power to instill hope, the power to have faith and instill faith, and most of all, the power to love someone. Those are permanent powers. So what we got to do? How do we access that? How do we get that kind of power in lives so where our transformed lives begin to help others be transformed? That they were drawn, people are drawn to us by the life that we live and the faith that we have. But we need to take our terrors to Jesus. When the father of the possessed son took his case to Jesus, Jesus changed the boy's life. Look, what would have happened if that son had not had taken what the disciples did and made a decision about Jesus because of the disciples' lack of faith. And no, he just, what he do? He says, well, I'm just going to go to the source. And he went to Jesus. Sometimes we put our faith into churches. Sometimes we put our faith into preachers. Sometimes we put our faith into a lot of other things. But there is really only one thing that you should ever put your faith in, and that is Jesus Christ. You go to Him. Don't ever expect me to lay my hands upon you and cure you of whatever done. Can I help you find the one who can? I certainly can. I can lead you to that person in Jesus Christ. The disciples afterwards came up after he had healed the boy. They came up and they said, why couldn't we do that? You see, it's not a magic incantation of a certain set of words and a certain way of saying things or some burnt sacrifice. It wasn't anything like that. He just said, you had little faith. What is faith, by the way? Well, it's believing in things, something that you cannot see, and hoping and expecting it to be real. For instance, you say, well, that's not scientific. Well, everybody take a deep breath. Did you see what you just inhaled? Air. What? But you've done it all your life. And you understand that it's there, but you can't see it. The argument about God is always going to be tempered with faith, as it is with everything that we in life that we don't understand and that we can't see. Even the things that are subtle signs, sometimes there are things, assumptions we have to make simply. We don't know why. We just know that they are. And it's the same way with God. It's called faith. Our kids, when they were young, put a lot of faith into the parents. They had faith that they would take care of them, they'd change their diapers, they'd give them the proper bottles, and at the same time that they would take care of their every needs, that they'd feed them, they'd clothe them. They would have that faith in their parents. Never questioning once that they wouldn't do those things. It's that kind of faith, the faith of a child, that we have to have in God and in Christ. You see, he's not saying you have to be a giant in faith. He just says you got to have a little faith. A faith that you can move mountains in this life. Something that they lack. Even after seeing him transfigured with Elijah and Moses, they just... you know what they worry about? They're probably worried about more. But guess what's going to happen when I heal this person? Instead of putting the honor and glory to God. You know, sometimes we show little faith even after all the great things God's done in my life. And sometimes we don't take our terrors of this life to Jesus. You see, we should all have faith in Christ. That when our problems and our troubles in life, you know, when they come up, we try to solve them ourselves. Boy, we can make a mess of things, can't we? No one's going to see the power of God. But when we give it to Christ, when we give it to Him, and we tell Him, Lord, I'm going to stop it. I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to have faith in You to fulfill Your promises, that You're never going to leave me. You're never going to forsake me. I'm going to put my trust in You. When You say, if I pray to You, I give you all my burdens, You'll take care of them. Without asking how, why, when, and who, and all this other questions. Just give it to Him. Too many times, in seemingly hopeless situations, we say, well, all we can do now is pray. It's almost like it's the last resort, isn't it? to say, well, it's time to pray. I tried everything else, but we pray. Prayer should be the first thing that we do. John Bunyan said this one time. He said, you can do more than pray after you pray, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. First thing you got to do is to take it to the Lord. Christ told his disciples, howbeit this kind goeth out but by prayer and fasting. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And in verses 14 and 15. And he says, and we have seen and do testify. Chapter 5. All right. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. You don't get because you don't ask. And what you ask would be in his name. Guys, there are times when we come in situations and we're going to ask for things that may not be in his will. I have people in my life now that needs some healing. Problem is, it may not be God's plan for that to happen. So I put it up to him. We give it to him. You know, that's the power of prayer, is when we give it to him. You know, there's a prayer that changes lives. Does it sound like we're powerless? No, it's just that when we try to do everything by ourselves without faith in God, we are powerless. But when we access through prayer and asking God to take over for our problems, our issues, the issues of those we love and care about, always give it to him and say, Lord, you take care of it. I have faith in you. And that, there's no telling what God can and will do in that situation. So yes, you are not powerless. You have the power of the Almighty God at your disposal just by simply by prayer. You'll say, Brother Andy, what about fasting? I don't like talking about that. A spiritual discipline that helps us focus upon what's really important in life. And you know what? What's really important in life is sometimes not the things that we pray for, but just the things that we want. The world is crying. He's crying out for changed lives. And it seems that more and more they're looking for that changed life in someplace else besides the church. Too many people are coming away from the church services and from the church itself. And they're coming away disappointed by not finding Christ, the power of Christ within them. I will tell you something, is if that happens, it's not about power of Christ, is about our access to it, about whether or not we're willing to pray and give him and just say, Lord, it's all yours. Have the faith that we need. We need to show the world today that we're not powerless and that Christ still works in the lives of men and women today. You see, we are able to help men change their lives. When they come to us and they see the life that we live, they see the power of God in our life, they see the faith that we have in God, they'll come to you and they'll say, can you help with my son? Maybe it's something you can physically do, but even if it's just to pray with them, to help them understand that God can give them the peace that passes all understanding, that God is the one who has the true power, and that they need to have access to God anywhere else. And the answer, of course, is yes. And our last verse this morning is found in James, the fifth chapter. James, the fifth chapter, verses 13 through 16. Is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Not the oil, not anything else, but the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that he may be healed. Oh, my favorite part of this whole passage. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can you imagine if you had a whole house full of praying for the same thing? We are not powerless, church. We're not powerless. We're just not reaching for the one who has the power. We're not accessing. We're like the disciples who tried to do things on their own without actually going to Jesus first. And we're struggling. It's time to put the plug in the socket and get us back connected to where who we need to be and get the power going again. If you're here this morning, you're a church member, you're a Christian, and you don't feel that power, that power of God in your reigning through your life, you need to re-examine your life. You need to figure out who you're putting your trust in. You say, what if I'm not? What if I've never asked Jesus Christ into my heart, into my life? Let me tell you, you may not have all the answers about what God is doing, but I believe God is dealing with your heart right now. He's wanting you come to Him, drawing you to Him. Although there's all kinds of problems in life, we've talked about a lot of them this morning, but the greatest problem that faces all of mankind, I can assure you that God has solved that problem for those willing to accept it. And that is of what happens after we pass from this life. The answer is through what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary. By His resurrection on the third day, He showed us that eternal life was possible. And that eternal life involved being with Him. He showed us that we can have faith in this life. We can have hope in this life. We can have peace in this life simply by putting our faith, our hope, and our trust in Him and accepting the gift of everlasting life that He's presenting to us all. If you've never done that, He may be calling you to do that today. I hope you'll respond with a yes. Anything other than responding to God with a yes, maybe some other time, is still a no. So whatever it is that God has for you this morning, I hope and pray that you will answer yes. So as we stand prepared for an invitation, I don't know your heart, don't know your life, I don't know what God is dealing with you about. I just know what He's dealing with me about. I hope and pray that you will put your faith and hope and trust in Christ this morning. So as we sing, if God is leading you to some sort of a decision in your life, would you come? Would you make it today? As we see.